You're listening to KTWH LP 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota. I'm Katya Gordon, your hostess for What's Happening.
In just a few minutes, Matt Huddleston will be with me from Lake County talking. There's lots of stuff we can talk about with what's going on in the county. So you're listening to KTWH LP 99.5. As promised, you are listening to KTWH, What's Happening? This is my interview every week on a Friday at 9 a.m. with a community leader. And this morning, I have Matt Huddleston on the phone. Matt is the Lake County Administrator. Thank you so much, Matt, for calling in on a beautiful, sunny Friday morning.
It is certainly beautiful out there today, and yeah. Thank you for having me. The wind doesn't seem to be blowing off the lake, so it's pretty
yeah,
nice.
So it's actually warmed up probably 20 degrees. Yeah, yesterday was, I would say, icy winds, for those of you who don't live in Two Harbors and are streaming us from afar. But anyway, yeah, so Matt, lots going on in the county. Life continues on, even amid our pandemic crisis. So let's hit some of these, some topics that you want to hit. Maybe the biggest one is that there's some really amazing people who have been working for the county for a long time who are retiring. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we do have some retirements and a resignation coming up, and not necessarily people, not all of them have been working a long time, but still some great contributions and service to the county. And so we're currently recruiting we're well into the process of recruitment for a new veteran service officer and facility manager. So Vince Sando, our veteran service officer, is retiring. And I guess it's been a pleasure to be able to get to know Vince over these last number of years as a veteran service officer. I don't think anybody can question his passion and commitment to working for the vets in Lake County. So it's just been a pleasure to work with him, and he's certainly going to be missed, and
yes.
hard shoes to fill on the veteran service side of things. So.
Yes, he's also been radio. He took it upon himself to do a veteran radio show, which maybe is an example of what you're talking about.
Yeah, he took it upon himself to try to get the word out there and try to get to vets in many different ways. He certainly didn't need much pushing or prodding from me. He just took things on, and I appreciated how he's committed to that, and just all the positive things we heard, me, myself, and the county board through his time here, from vets throughout the county of the work that he's done. So it's just all been positive.
Neat. All right. Who else?
We have our facilities manager, who most people in the public probably don't get to see too much. He hasn't been on board a long time with us, but during his time here, he's done a fantastic job, Kevin Traster. He came in, and he's changed how we do things in the facilities department. And, you know, he's just a great person and a tireless worker, and he was instrumental in our build of our new highway facility. So I'm thankful we had him here during that period, and he was really the go-to person that bird-dogged everything in that project and made that building what it is today. So I couldn't imagine doing that without him, and he'll be sorely missed. And we're well into the process for recruiting for that and getting someone new in here. But I appreciate his time here with Lake County, which wasn't certainly a long time, but he certainly did some great things while he was here.
Yeah, I'm guessing when he took that job, he had no idea that he was going to have a burnt building and a new building to build. That was not part of the job description.
That was not part of the plan. And then, yeah, finally, we just got some recent news that our highway engineer, Kristen Foster, is leaving Lake County, and she will become our next district state aid engineer with MnDOT, and I'm really happy for her, and that'll be towards the end of May. Actually, the retirements I just talked about previously, they're leaving at the end of May, and Kristen will be leaving us at the end of May.
Okay, that's quick.
So, yeah, she. It seems like only yesterday we brought her into our county, and that's been 6.5 years. And, similar to the other folks I just mentioned, it's been great working with her. I'm really sad to see her go, and I think a lot of people in the county are sad to see her go. She was definitely top-notch. Her drive and work and intelligence and class really brought, I think, you know, everybody was impressed with that. She was able to take on Cook County for the last couple of years, and all I've heard from folks in Cook County has been how impressed they are with her work, and to be able to take on two counties and take care of that certainly speaks to her abilities and why she probably was selected as a district
state. Yeah, it sounds like she was she's now taking on an even bigger area and essentially moving up.
Yep, and we'll still get to work with her a little bit, so I'm happy for that, but that doesn't make up for the fact that she's leaving us here at Lake County, and so we're trying to work through that process and begin the recruitment for that, and you know, we'll be doing some contingency, hopefully bringing on an interim person to help us out with any of the engineering stuff. But, you know, our goal is to try to get someone on by this summer and try to move forward the best we can. So, three great employees, three great leaders, and just three great people that are leaving the county.
Yeah, and probably three retirement parties that aren't going to happen.
And that's the other challenge, right? When I heard the first retirements, I had plans to throw some parties, and now I guess rethinking how we do all that in light of what's going on.
Yeah, yep. All right, so what else? We have the WCA assessment going on, an ongoing thing. What's new with that?
Yeah, so, yep, that continues to move along. We weren't able to make our trip out to Washington due to COVID, but we were able to secure teleconferences, two separate ones. We had one with the chief of the Forest Service, Vicki Christensen, and then we had another with the Deputy Secretary Senske of the USDA, and we were able to, all three counties, I think we had 9 people on there, were able to speak and talk about our issues and concerns with the previous appraisal and thank them for throwing out the previous one and talked a little bit about what that process will look like as we move forward with the next appraisal and really hammer home the idea that we really want to be part of the process and how we think some of the errors that were in the previous appraisal and what should be considered and included. So I think it was a great discussion. We sent follow-up letters and follow-up information to both those folks. And I know Congressman Stauber was on the call with Deputy Senske as well. So we appreciate him helping lead that conversation and helping lead the fight on this. And representatives from our senator's office were also on the call as well. So we appreciate their help. It's going to be a longer process. You know, they've said 1 to 2 years, and currently they have not selected the new appraiser, which I think is a good thing because it gives us an opportunity to communicate our concerns and things we'd like to see, and hopefully they can take that into consideration as they move forward to select the new person. But one of the positive things I think I heard in that conversation was the idea that they're going to try to be flexible and find creative ways to work on this, because we all recognize the boundary waters is really not comparable, and I think they were hamstrung a little bit by just their technical procedures and process and using data that I believe wasn't truly accurate or representative of what would happen if you're trying to sell the boundary waters. So it's trying to figure out how do we really capture what the value of that is, not just using data that we have to use for some process, even though we know it's giving us incorrect amounts. So yeah. I think we had a good discussion about all those pieces, and I guess I'm hopeful. But again, this is an issue situation where they're still providing us the same level as the 2008 appraisal in terms of our payment each year, and we did receive our payment earlier this year, but there is no guarantee.
Right.
When an appraisal is done, we're going to have to settle up, whether it's getting more or having to pay back some of that. So we're still trying to figure out how to address that issue in budgets and that process.
Yeah, it seems like just as long, the main thing, I mean, people just, your average citizen in Lake County needs to be aware of the unknowns involved in that, and that there just is going to be a certain amount of unknowns. It's a lot better than having the known worst case scenario come true. So I hope we can all just live with the unknown for now.
Yeah, it's still positive. I think there's still a chance there, and you know, it's good at this moment. We'll see what comes out of it.
So I got a tangent question to that, Matt. Now that you've participated in a teleconference that was not an in-person, you know, these, of course, are happening all around the country and all levels, and I'm wondering if you see that there were benefits to this. Maybe you could pull in people that wouldn't have made the trip to D.C. or have more people involved, or were there ways in which you see this as a positive development that may continue in the future, not to mention the lack of expense to the county for the travel. And I mean, I don't know. I just think it's a whole new world opening up, and I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about that.
Well, you know, we just had a traditional phone conference. I think with a lot of our other meetings, we're able to utilize Zoom and some other technology where you can actually see people. So just the old telephone conference, we ended up having the same people that were planning to make the trip out there.
Okay.
I think that what made it harder is, and I think it was really good that we did this, that we just separate out who is going to speak to what part because we're on the phone. And so we each had a speaking role, four of us, and we talked about certain issues. It really makes it hard for everybody to participate because a call with 14 people on it that you can't see people is very easy to get discombobulated and people talking over people. So I think we did a really good job on our end of preparing for that and having calls. But I recognize the issue and the challenge with the cost of going out there. But in the times that we've been able to go out to D.C. for other issues or even on the broadband project, to be able to see people face-to-face and talk with them gives you a connection and a relationship that I don't think you can get by talking to someone on the phone. So
yeah.
I think it was great to be able to have the opportunity still to communicate with people, but I always still feel it's better to be able to sit down in certain circumstances, not all circumstances, but certain circumstances, especially ones like the boundary waters funding and how important that is to be able to sit down and really have that connection with people and be able to see them when you're talking to them. So
there is nothing quite like face-to-face, as far as, especially when you're building relationships.
Right.
That's for sure. All right, let's move on. We got so much going on here. Let's see, the Board of Appeal and Equalization Process. Tell me about that.
Just wanted to update people on that. As people are probably aware, they got their valuation and classification notices recently, and currently we're going through the local board process. So some local jurisdictions have their own Board of Appeal and Equalization meeting. Some don't. And if you don't, which I think was the case here earlier this week for Two Harbors, for example, I think on the notice there was a date there, and people were confused, or maybe some people were confused that, hey, we're not open, so we don't have a meeting. Well, there's not really a meeting for Two Harbors locally. You just got to call the assessor's office and chat with them. But all these local boards lead up to a County Board of Appeal and Equalization that happens on June 22nd at 5 p.m. So you got to go through your local board or your open book meeting to get to that county board meeting. And I just wanted to say, we're just working on what that meeting will look like, because obviously times have changed and how you bring people into a meeting, how we're handling things virtually, or how we might make it so people can participate virtually, or they can come in here and we'll have a process to coordinate getting people in to a meeting. And now June 22nd is a ways away, so we don't know exactly what things are going to be like then. But we're planning for contingencies to make sure we can have that meeting, because we do have to have it. And I'm just encouraging people to call their assessor or call our assessor ahead of time, regardless, just to chat about concerns or issues if you have them on your value reclassification, and also just to talk about that appeal process, just so, because it's going to be different probably, have that conversation. Hopefully that'll make everything move a little smoother. And I think a lot of issues do get resolved by working with the assessor ahead of time. But ultimately, if you can't, you know, there's that due process, and we just want people to call in, set an appointment, try to help make this go as smooth as possible.
Yeah, so this is all in regards to one's property taxes and the value of their home, their property, correct?
Yeah, this is just strictly related to their valuation and their classification. So sometimes what happens is people don't end up coming and talking to us until the truth in taxation meeting, which is at the end of the year, which is just about the tax and the levy. And at that time, if your issue is truly about value classification, you can't do anything. So I think a lot of times I just want to make sure it's really clear. This is the time, if you have a concern about your valuation or your classification, to look at that, talk with the assessor, and go through the appeal. If you wait till the end of the year after we set the levy and you see the ultimate taxes, and then people want to come in, there's nothing that can be done about your valuation and classification. And seeing that happens every year when we get to December, I just want to try to make a point this year to make sure people understand, check those notices, look at what your value is. If you think it's okay and fine, great. If you have some question about it, call the assessor. Now is the time to look at it and talk about it.
Yeah, I'm so glad we're talking about it at this time of year. That's a really timely announcement to make. And so, I mean, and I don't understand all the nitty-gritties about it, but I do understand if you have a question, call, talk to a person about this. Sounds simple.
And one other piece with that, vacation rentals has been a topic for a classification side of things, because the Department of Revenue came out, talked about them supposed to be classified as commercial.
Right.
Our assessor did that. My understanding at the state level right now is there is some movement to put a moratorium on changing the classification that would probably be retroactive, meaning the classifications for vacation rentals that were changed to commercial, probably, if this passes, will be moved back to whatever their prior classification was during the moratorium. Now, this hasn't happened yet. Being proposed. I'm not sure exactly the timing of it. There is also, other than a moratorium of just keeping it the same, there's also some legislation about providing a different classification other than commercial, something that's probably in between where they were at before and where commercial is. But it appears that probably won't go through this year. Maybe it's just due to the challenges with hearings and things at the legislature, and I think there's still some disagreement, more discussion needs to happen on that. So I think in lieu of that, they're going to do the moratorium while they work on that. And I know that's been a topic of conversation since that came up from the Department of Revenue and since we made and the assessor made a determination to make those commercial. So hopefully there's just maybe some, you know, go back to the way it was.
Yeah.
Spend time figuring out what it should be from the state, and they give some clear direction that hopefully is, you know, minimizes the burden for administration on our end and makes it really clear for everybody what their classification will be. Now, that's totally different than what permits you need to operate a vacation rental. This is just about what your classification is that determines what rate
you may pay. Thank you, Matt. Wow, you are sharing a lot of important information with us in a short time. Sounds like the whole Airbnb thing is still evolving, and they are taking the time to figure that out, from the taxes to the evaluation and all that whole piece. So that's really good information. All right, let's go on to transportation projects and the transportation sales tax hearing coming up on May 12th.
Yeah, so over the last, since 2017, we've been able to bring in about $2.5 million, which is almost double the forecast for our transportation sales tax that we received from the Department of Revenue.
Whoa.
And so with the increased revenues, it's allowing us to consider investing in more transportation projects. And on May 12th, 2 p.m., we set that date for our transportation sales tax hearing. And we're going to talk about that. And I think a couple of the projects we're interested in adding is the proposal of reconstructing Fifth Street and Two Harbors and Banks Boulevard and Silver Bay within the next 5 years. Now, you know, things have been up. They've almost been double. I don't know what our current situation is and how that's going to impact future.
Right.
Revenue.
It seems like that's all in such huge flux right now. But it sounds like you're just going to start talking about it on May 12th.
I think we want to talk about it, but if we're going to add these projects, part of it would be extending the tax, not increasing the amount of tax that is paid, but extending the tax to incorporate these projects in. That's what would be part of the hearing is about.
Okay.
Extending the tax, allowing those projects to be part of it, but then the other part will be then figuring out how to pay for that. We could bond ahead of time to try to get the projects done earlier, but then we really got to look at what's our forecast for those funds into the future and how much can we rely upon what's happened over the last 3 years or not. So that'll all be part of the discussion, but I think that's all positive things and trying to, you know, step up and move up some projects to get them done that are much needed within.
Yeah, and at the risk of asking a dumb question, Matt, didn't this tax just begin very, very recently?
Yep, I mean, 2017 is when it began, but we're taking funds in at, you know, again, double the rate we anticipated, so we're going to have the funding we need for the projects we laid out early.
Okay.
So if we want to do more with what we're receiving, we have to consider, you know, changing that amount so we can extend continuing collection of that. But some of the other things, you know, mentioning the tax, right now, two of the pavement preservation projects supported by the 0.5% transportation sales tax are in Fall Lake Road and Moose Lake Road in Fall Lake Township. So we're reclaiming these roads, and that will begin later this summer. But we also have 5 miles of Highway 2 in Stony River Township, Lax Lake Road in Beaver Bay, Highway 5 outside of Silver Bay, Stanley Road, Heffelfinger Road, Kramer Road, and Gun Club Road. They'll all be chip sealed this year. And chip seals are applied to a recently paved road to keep the new blacktop in good condition for a longer period of time. So those are some of the things we're doing, and that was the initial look at those funds, and that transportation sales tax was pavement preservation, trying to keep the pavement that we have in good shape to make it last longer until we have to replace it. And now, partly with this hearing, is looking to shift a little bit and use some of those funds to take care of some roads that are in tough shape, as well as pavement preservation. Because there's only so much pavement preservation you can do, depending on, you know, how many roads you have that are relatively new pavement. So we're kind of shifting that focus to possibly do.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear some good news on that kind of an arena, because we don't hear a lot of good news these days. So that does sound good. You can potentially do more than you thought with this tax money that's coming in.
Yeah, and just a couple other things on transportation realm. I know we're working with the DNR on the new Split Rock Lighthouse State Park campground. It's going to be called the Shipwreck Creek Campground, and the site work is scheduled to be completed in 2021, and also kind of going along with that, our bike trail is looking to start on or before June 1st, hoping to complete 16 to 20 miles this year, and goal is to try to have that open in 2021. There's still some details that need to be worked out on how that will look, especially in conjunction with the campground. So
yeah,
working on that project, and we also up in Beaver Bay, our highway department, and thanks to them for their work and our solid waste staff, they participated in demolition of old apartment buildings in Beaver Bay. So if you drive by Beaver Bay anytime in the near future, you will notice a big difference there. And I know the city council is weighing options for the future use of that property. But happy that our highway staff stepped up and participated in that and took care of those buildings and helped the city of Beaver Bay. So that's
great.
A positive thing as well.
All right. Well, Matt, we have spent a lot of time talking about important stuff, and I just got to finish by asking if there are any COVID-related updates that you want to share with me.
Certainly, I could probably talk for another 20 to 25 minutes about that as well. I know our staff are doing a great job with emergency management, health and human services, you know, working great with everybody and trying to, you know, do what we need to do to get prepared for what's to come. I think there's a couple things I wanted to note. The mask. We've been appreciative of folks that have been making and donating masks. More masks are still needed for emergency responders and those in congregate care and other vulnerable community members. So this Saturday, we'll be participating in Face Masks to Fire Halls, statewide homemade mask drive. That's between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. People can drop off homemade masks to fire halls in Two Harbors, Finland, Remsen, Silver Bay, Morris, Fall Lake, and neighboring Ely. And I think we still have material. I know the emergency management has some elastic and wire, and Lakeview Hospital, Lakeview Memorial Hospital, purchased enough fabric, I think, to do about 600 masks. So please contact us. I think you can contact Carrie Parks at 218-226-4443 or email her. And supplies can be picked up Monday through Friday between 8 and 4 p.m. at the emergency management offices in Silver Bay. So we have material there, still looking to make more masks to help folks out. So we appreciate the work people have been doing on that. And also, I think another point that came out in the governor's discussion on Wednesday, that I think we're anticipating that we're likely to see a dramatic increase in the number of confirmed cases given the increased testing capacity. I think they're working toward 20,000 tests per day. And the broader testing criteria of testing symptomatic, that was announced again on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's so, such good news. To be able to test seems to be a key to our ability to respond, respond in a way, in the best way. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, just be prepared for what that's going to mean too on the testing side of things and the number side. And I think just finally, along with everyone else, we look forward to reopening our county facilities and businesses. But we're planning for how to do that safely, thoughtfully, and in compliance with the governor's recommendation, and to prevent that second wave of COVID. And we're just trying to do our best at the county with our operations. We've got a lot of people working remotely, and we're doing our best to provide all the services that everybody's come to know and what we do, and we're going to continue to try to do that. I know, the recycle center is an example of something that we weren't able to continue. The DAC, we contracted with them for operations of that facility. So we tried to keep it open for a bit with our staff, haven't been able to sustain that, so we have it closed right now. We're just taking a look at that facility. I'm actually going to go out there and take a tour with our environmental services director here in a little bit, and we're going to try to do some things to clean it up and get that in better shape, and then we're going to have some more discussions with the county board about future operations of that facility. So I don't have a time frame on when that's going to open up yet, but we're certainly looking at it and trying to get some things done as we reevaluate that.
Yeah.
Most of the things we're continuing to try to do, they might be in a little different format. It might take a little longer to get done, but we are open for business. Please call, please email, please contact us. We're here trying to help.
All right, Matt. Well, you have definitely assured me that you guys are working really hard, doing your best, and that best is very good indeed. So thank you, and thank you for taking the time to tell us about all that this morning.
Oh, I'm happy to be on. And have a great day and enjoy this wonderful weather.
Yeah, you too. All right, you take care.
All right, thanks.
That was Matt Huddleston, our Lake County Administrator, giving us updates on all manner of things. And you are listening to What's Happening on KTWH 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota. ¶¶